Hechel Menachem presents A Tale of Two Souls, an ongoing lecture series on the Tanya by Rabbi Yosef Yitzchak Jacobson. This is recording number 88 in the series entitled How to Structure Your Day, Introducing Cosmic Oneness into Your Fragmented Schedule, Chapter 34. This class was recorded live at Hechel Menachem, Brooklyn, New York, on the 18th of Shvat, 5760.
Good evening. We are up to chapter 34 of the Tanya. Initially, someone did have a thought that due to the great snowstorm, we should cancel the class. And then I thought that that would be contrary to the whole message that Alter Rebbe is articulating in these chapters about the true nature of reality. It would be in stark contrast to that, because in chapter 33 the Alter Rebbe discussed the awesome joy that a Jew can introduce into his life, especially when one sees the need to refresh, to invigorate, to illuminate the soul that's exhausted from the day-to-day burdens of our physical life, and the soul needs some stamina, vitality, energy, and inspiration. Zogt Alter Rebbe that the method to deal with this is by meditating deeply and in a true fashion into Yichuda Yisbarecha Amiti, into the true nature of Hashem's unity, where a Jew comes to realize that the ultimate and true definition of reality is that it does not exist as an independent being or existence whatsoever. Rather, Hashem's intimate essence, that is the only true existence and reality. Briefly, as we discussed at length in Perek Lamed Gimel, if the whole world is an embodiment of Hashem's oisiyos, it's considered Hashem's speech, the world was created and is dependent upon and is subservient to Hashem's utterances, His letters of speech, Bidvar Hashem Shamayim Nasu, which brought the whole world into being. Meaning that just as speech, our speech, articulates our wisdom, our feelings, the world, in a sense, articulates Hashem's inner persona, His wisdom, His feelings, His capacity, His intelligence, kivayachal, and so forth. But when those letters are included within the personality, the intimate personality of the human being, they do not assume any identity, they do not possess any name of their own. They are totally drowned and absorbed in their source, in their origin, and it would be ridiculous, meaningless, absolutely meaningless, to attribute the term existence to the letters. As I mentioned, the metaphor, it is akin to going over to a groom or to a bride in the middle of his wedding, the video man who's taking the video, and play a video to the groom in the middle when he's dancing at his wedding, play a video of him dancing and say, look how beautiful your wedding is. A year later, 6 months later, when the experience is not there, the picture is in place because you have only a picture. Eisei's speech are a picture of the experience. They are the data structure, the instruments through which we articulate through a compressed, definitive form, the inner experience. In the presence of the experience, to grant significance to the picture of it and to attribute to it existence is meaningless. In the person's case, there is the feeling, which includes the letters, the articulation of the feeling, and then there is when the person communicates that feeling verbally, and the words indeed become a distinct reality. But in Hashem's case, since Leis asar ponui mine, there is no space devoid of his intimate presence. So even after he articulated the words, which means he created the world, he articulated his wisdom and his feelings into words, so to speak, nevertheless they remain absorbed in his intimate presence and do not assume any identity, any name, any existence whatsoever. So the only existence that exists is Hashem's intimate presence, Hashem's intimate space, Hashem's essence. So Zog d'Alter Rebbe, if you want to reclaim reality in the deepest way, if you want to reclaim the self in the truest way, you have to become selfless. The most natural state of reality is when it's realityless, when it's surrendered. This awareness, this realization introduces an awesome joy into the soul of the Jew, actually imbues within him a feeling similar to what he defined as Tchias HaMesim, resurrection of the dead, in the sense that it invigorates the Jew in a powerful and limited way, because every moment of his life, every experience, every space, he experiences intimacy with Hashem's essence. Now the question is, it was asked last week, the very good question. This was discussed at length in Perek Lamed Gimel. Now, where do we go from here? What do we do with this awareness? How real is this? Can this emuna awareness become in our life? Does this truth and our life ever get along, ever converge? We feel ourselves. We experience ourselves. We live life in the context of giving our identities and our physical space definition, quality, existence, and so on and so forth. Does this truth, can it ever have a real connection? And can it ever really be integrated into our lives? I have to share something with you. I spent the weekend, Friday, Shabbos, and Sunday in Wisconsin, in William Bay, Wisconsin, at a resort hotel where a major Shabbaton was held. And I was asked to lecture and give classes at the Shabbaton. In the middle of my lecture Friday night after the meal, it was a lecture about how to achieve serenity in life, a tale of two souls, which you guys have somewhat experience with, learning the tale of the two souls. And a woman raised her hand. And as I found out later, this woman grew up in a typical secular American Jewish home without any type of Jewish education whatsoever. Studied, went to school, got her degree, married, a mother of children, a successful businesswoman. In the last few years, she started to study Yiddishkeit with the Chabad representative in Mequon, Wisconsin. and she became closer and closer to Torah, and now she accepted upon herself the life of Torah and mitzvahs, mahadrin min ha-mahadrin. So she raises her hand and she asks a question. And this was Friday night, a few days after our last Tuesday night class. And she says, I learned in Tanya that the true definition of reality is that it's realityless. That if you probe the depth of existence and you're in tune with what existence is all about, you come to realize that there's no existence but the intimate essence of Hashem. The fact that reality can be perceived in any other terms is a result of a cover-up. So my question is, how can we say that Hashem loves us? Who is the us that Hashem loves? I was taken aback. And I remembered that I once heard such a question. And I thought, where did I hear the question? And then I remembered. A question asked in somewhat different words. And I shared this story with you when we learned chapter 20 and 21, where the Alter Rebbe discusses this concept for the first time in Tanya. That once the Alter Rebbe was driving through a city in the present-day Ukraine that was known then as small, minor Poland, I believe. Small Poland. The name of the city was, I believe, Zebrzhav, or something of that nature. A widow lifted up her two sons to the wagon where the Alter Rebbe was sitting so that the Rebbe should bless them. One of the children the Rebbe blessed. The other child, his name was Yisraelik. He was a young boy, I believe a 9-year-old boy. And he says, Rebbe, once a Yid says, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, Hashem is one. How can he then say, V'ahavta Hashem Elokecha, b'chol levavcha, b'chol nafshecha, b'chol moedecha. You should love Hashem with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. And the Alter Rebbe gazed the boy in the eyes and responded, because in the middle, the Jew interjects the statement, Baruch Shem Kvoid Malchusay La'olam Vaat. And the conversation culminated. When the Alter Rebbe came home to his own town in Liozhna, he turned to his elder Chassidim and he said, Shem Nzalter Zechassidim, shame on you Chassidim. A 9-year-old child in minor Poland asks a question that none of you even thought to ask. This Yisraelik grew up to be known as the Heilige Rebbe Yisrael Ruzhina, the Hasidic master of Ruzhin. What is the question? Once a Jew says, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, Echad, the only existence is Hashem, and the Jew integrates this in his mind, in his heart, in his soul. How can he say, V'haftas Hashem Elokecha, you should love Hashem? Who is the you? The fact that I love someone, there's an I that loves, there's an I that's attracted, there's an I that experiences affection towards the beloved one, there's an I that gravitates. Taka, love means that I'm not egotistical, I'm not self-contained, it's a self that's attracted to someone else, to something else. But who is this I? There's no I. There was never an I. It's a cover-up. So the Alter Rebbe said, you're right. You're 100% right. In the middle we say, Baruch Shem Kvod Malchus Elokim Vat. If we would go for Shema Yisrael to Vahafta, you would be 100% right. Anshe Yericha, Zag the Gemara, Anshe Yericha, Yor Kirchen Shema. Men of you, the Jews of Yericha would go from Shema to Vahafta. The Chachamim were not pleased with that. The Halach is, you have to interject Baruch Shem Kvod Malchus Elokim Vat. So Chassidus explains, Tzemach Tzedek has a whole discourse on this in Parashas Reis Chanan. From Shema Teva Hafta. Because as we know, one of the foundations in the Alter Rebbe's school of thought, in the Chabad school of thought, is that there's two levels of unity. Two levels of consciousness. There's Yichud Ilah, the higher level of consciousness which perceives the true unity, and Yichud Tata, a lower level of consciousness which perceives unity on a lower level. Yichud Tata means that there's no reality independent of Hashem's energy. The world has no ego of its own. It doesn't have a reality independent of the divine utterances that create it. Yichud Eilah is that it doesn't have a reality, period. Shema Yisrael is Yichud Eilah. Baruch Shem is Yichud Tata. So 200 years later, I merited to hear the same question. And I also felt embarrassed. She meant it with the whole sincerity. How can Hashem love us? And I shed a tear. It was moving to hear such a question in Wisconsin. In Brooklyn, we don't hear such questions so often. We're not bothered by it. It's real neshamas, real neshamas. It's the awesomeness of today's era. And I attempted to explain to her. I said the story with the Rishon and the Alter Rebbe and attempted to explain the difference between Yichud Eilah and Yichud Tata. And thus I'll always remember this Shabbos as Yichud Eilah in Wisconsin. If a Yid in Perek Lamed Gimel experiences the emuna of Yichud Eilah, that really Einoid Mulvade, there is him and there's none else beside him. An emuna that imbues him with an awesome joy. Can he ever live with this emuna? Can it ever permeate him, or it remains a detached emuna? I can be aware in my mind that there is a certain truth, but my day-to-day life and my day-to-day personality and my experience of life is absolutely no expression whatsoever of this truth. This is the theme of Perek Lamed Aleph. Living with reality, as the title, making it real. Living with reality. Not living with this reality. Living with reality because there's no, it's not this reality, it's not this reality. This is the only definition of reality when you're in touch with the rhythm of life. This is reality. Can we live with it? Let's learn inside. V'hine, it's known. V'hine, again, v'hine moida azois. Now it's known, sha'avois, heine namerkava. That the patriarchs, they constitute the divine chariot, the merkava. The Medrash Rabbah says in Parshas Lech Lecha, Parshas Vayishlach, it was quoted before and discussed in Perik Chav Gimel of Tanya, that Ha'avos Heinein HaMerkava. The Medrash brings the Psukim concerning our Avos. In Parshas Lech Lecha, at the conclusion of the Parsha, Vayal Aleikim Al Avraham, Hashem ascended from above Avraham. In Parshas Vayishlach concerning Yaakov, Vayal Me'olav Aleikim. In Parshas Vayetze, Yaakov's dream, Vihine Hashem needs of Allah, Hashem is standing above him. Zog the Medrash, that the Avos were an embodiment of the supernal Merkava, the supernal divine chariot, which is discussed in the beginning of Nevuas Yecheskel, Merkavas Yecheskel, where the supernal angelic, celestial angelic beings carry, they are the Merkava, the chariot, the wagon that carry the Kisei HaKavod, Hashem's throne of glory. So that is what the Avos embodied in their lives. They were the Merkava. And the Alter Rebbe explains, that's why we say, V'yala lekim me'al Avraham, V'hinei Hashem nitzav olav. They are the Merkava that, so to speak, carry and express the divine presence. As the Alter Rebbe will explain, Shekol yimeyam la'olam, this means that throughout their entire lives, lo hifsiku afilu shah achas, they did not cease even momentarily, milikasher daitam v'nishmasam l'ribon ha'olamim, from binding their mind and soul to the Master of the Universe, bebitul hanali yichud yisbarach, with the aforementioned absolute surrender to His unity. Even for one moment, they did not cease from this awareness. And as a result of this awareness, from this absolute surrender described in chapter 33 so vividly, since every moment of their life they were permeated with this awareness of what reality is, of Hashem's, of Yichuda Yisbarech Hamiti, so how did they experience themselves in the context of existence? Without any ego whatsoever, they were absolutely in tune constantly with the true nature of reality. That is what a Merkava is. A Merkava, a chariot, a wagon, a horse, in modern day terms, let's call it a car, doesn't decide direction, doesn't have an agenda, doesn't have an ego, doesn't make tricks. Okay, in a storm like this, the car does have its own agenda. True, but that doesn't have to do with the ego of the car. That has to do with the nature of the storm and so forth. The definition of a Merkava is that it's nothing but a vehicle to the pilot, to the driver, to take it wherever he or she wishes. So we say the Avos were a Merkava. What does that mean? That the Avos did not experience themselves as any existence outside of the all-pervading absolute existence of Hashem's intimate self. The Alter Rebbe has a maimer, his maimori admir hazaken haktsarim, where he says, afilu shah achas, even in the midst of their sleep. And that's an awesome chiddush. In the midst of their sleep, they experience the same bittul. And Alter Rebbe continues, V'achareyem, and following them came Kol HaNeviim. All of the Neviim, all of the prophets. Kol Echad L'fi Madregas Nishmasei V'Hasagasei. Each Navi according to the level of his soul and his understanding. And here we have the true definition of what a Navi, a prophet, is. A prophet communicates the words of Hashem. Why does he communicate the words of Hashem? Because he suspends totally his ego, so he becomes a channel to the natural reality, which is the divine energy that fills the cosmos. In other words, the natural state of a human being is to be a Navi. That's the natural state. To be a channel of divine energy. Because kula kamei kalei chashiv. There is no other reality. There's nothing else happening. However, in our life, the cover-up causes that we should perceive ourselves as a significant reality. And that perception of self as an existence conceals, doesn't allow us to become channels for the true energy of the cosmos. Our space is what fills our mind and our heart. Not the true space, not the true definition of space. So the prophet, the Navi, is attuned to the natural state of the universe. So all the Nevi'im, each Navi according, he emphasizes two elements, Madregas Nishmasai and Hasagasai. The unity of Hashem is a condition. It's a fact. It's a reality. The question is how, if, and how much I can experience it. That depends, A, on the source of one's soul, on the sensitivity of one's soul to holiness, to sublimity. And it also depends upon one's cognitive ability, of having the ability to be aware of reality in these terms, which is contrary to the natural perception of the five senses. And Alter Rebbe continues, Umadregis Meshra Beinu Olav Ashalim, Hi Ailal Kolonon. And the level, the rank of our master Moshe surpassed them all. His Madrega transcended all of the Nevi'im. Sha'amru Olav concerning him, our sages said, Shechina Medaberes Mitergreinu Shal Moshe. The Shechina, the Divine Presence, spoke out of Moshe's throat. So the level of Moshe's Nevuah is considered superior and above all of the other prophecies. What did Moshe embody? If I am totally bottle, if I totally surrender my ego to the true nature of reality, I define reality based on what it is. So my thought and speech become thought and speech expressing reality. Shechina. That's what that was embodied by Moshe. So Moshe didn't talk words of his own. His physical throat didn't have an ego, an identity, an existence of its own. It was totally attuned to the true nature of reality. So when it spoke the thoughts and the words of Hashem. There are no other thoughts and words. Because that's the only true definition of existence. When you're in tune with the true energy of what's going on. So that's why by Moshe there was already no distinction between his individualistic personality and his role as a divine prophet. The Alter Rebbe discusses in Lakudat Torah a very vivid example of this. We see in Krishna that we say every day from Parshas Veschana, the second section of Krishna. How does Moshe begin? Something very enigmatic. How does he begin? He's talking to the Jewish people. Parshas Veschana, the second Parshas in Dvarim, in Deuteronomy, V'hayim Shamaya Tishmo. If you listen to the mitzvahs I'm communicating to you, to love Hashem Elokeichem, your God, and to serve Him with all your heart and with all your soul. So Hashem, he's referring to Hashem as in the third person, so to speak. What's the next pasuk? V'nosati mitaraitzichem b'itne. I will grant you rain. I, who just spoke about Hashem as someone else. He didn't say La'ava Isi. He wasn't communicating Hashem's words apparently. La'ava is Hashem Elokeichem. Then he continues the next pasuk. Hisham lechem paniftel avachem besartem avatem alekim achinim. V'chara af Hashem bechem. Not v'chara api bechem. Zogdal Terebbe that by Moshe talking about Hashem in third person and in one person are identical. Not because, heaven forbid, he was a deity. That's antithetical to the whole system of Yiddishkeit. Because Moshe was so much nothing that he can experience reality. He absolutely surrendered himself so there was no blockage. His self, his personality didn't create a blockage that disrupted the natural flow of reality and its expression. So he was a vehicle to what is going on. What is going on? Kula kamei kalei choshev. Achdus Hashem. Moshe was a personification of this unity of Hashem being expressed. So Moshe doesn't have to preface his words by saying, Kai Amar Hashem, this is what Hashem said, because everything that he says is Dvar Hashem. And according to the Alter Rebbe, this is not the Chiddush. This is natural. There is no other speech. Shechina medaberes, that is the only speech existing. It's just our ego, our vanity, our sense of self creates a chitzitza, creates a partition, creates a wall. It redefines reality in new terms. Moshe was anav ma'id mikala adam. He was totally humble, as Chassidus explains humble. His ego didn't play a role in his life, so the true nature of reality could be expressed in his life. So shechina medaberes mitarech reinai. And according to Chassidus, we learn from this that even when Moshe was talking to Hashem, it was shechina medaberes mitarech reinai. And to learn Torah in that fashion is awesome. When Moshe was communicating to Hashem, it was shechina medaberes mitarech reinai. Makas Pachedus to the mitzvah. Stam, it's interesting to note concerning the source of this statement. Shechina medaberes mitarech reinai shel Moshe is a very commonly used statement. It's brought in many, many Svarim, in some places even in the name of Chazal. But it's not to be found in Talmud, in the entire Shas, or in Medrash. Only the content of it. Not that terminology, which is similar to some very powerful and common expressions in our literature in the name of Chazal that are not to be found there in those words. For example, Yisrael Eireis V'Kutche Bricha Kol Echad, which it doesn't say anywhere in the early sources. The content of it is in Zohar. And the same is true concerning we discussed in Perek Dalet. There it's very relevant. Same thing is true here. In Zayin and Parshas Pinchas it says that Moshe was the master of all prophets and the master of all chachamim and so forth, that kutshabrichu shchinte medaber al pumei de Moshe. Pumei is the mouth. Kutshabrichu and the shchina communicated through the mouth of Moshe. In Medrash and Parshas Shmais it says when Moshe is complaining that he's incapable of talking. He's a kvat peh, kvat lashon, and Hashem responds, "Mi sam pela adam? Who placed a mouth to a person?" So the Medrash says, the Medrash Rabbah says, Hashem told him, "If I would have wanted, you could have been a good communicator, professional communicator. But I specially did it so to create the miracle that when you do talk correctly and you do communicate your message clearly, it will be obvious that it's coming from me." And Rebbe Abo said, Hashem told him, "My words are going to come through your mouth like an arrow." So the Mefarshim, the Radal, and the Marzav explain that this means Shechina medaberes mitarech reinai shel Moshe. Hashem's words are going to come through Moshe's mouth like an arrow. By the way, this is the difference. Gemara discusses in Psachim, should we say Baruch Shem Kved Malchus Eilam Vat? So what's the Gemara's dilemma? Moshe didn't say it. Moshe said Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. He didn't say Baruch Shem. Where does Baruch Shem come from? At Yaakov's last moments. Exactly, the sons were around him. It was Yaakov's last moments. He was departing from the world. And Yaakov had a fear that maybe one of his children has some blemish. And the children responded all the Shvatim. Shema Yisrael, Yisrael Sava. Listen, Yisrael, our father. Hashem Eleikeinu Hashem Echad. Kishem She'ein Belibcha Ela Echad. Kachem Belibeinu Ela Echad. And Yaakov responded, Baruch Shem Kved Malchus Eilam Vod. So the question is, should we say it or not say it? And the resolution was, say it silently. Of course Moshe didn't say it, the Tzemach Tzedek explains in Eirat Teira V'Eschana. In this level of Yichud, there's no Baruch Shem. Of course Moshe didn't say it. It was a response to the Shvatim, whom the Shvatim, relative to Moshe, did not experience this level of Yichud Eilah. As deep as Moshe, rather, they're more identified with the level of Yehuda Tata. Baruch Shem is connected to them. So this is Moshe Rabbeinu. So Moshe Rabbeinu Zagdal Rebbe surpassed all the Nevi'im in the sense that Shechina Medaberes Mitayakrenu, because his whole personality had no other definition. What was Moshe's vision? What was his vantage point on reality? Achdus Hashem. There was not one facet, not one nuance in his character, in his personality, in his identity that expressed any sense of self. That was Moshe. And Alter Rebbe continues, and a glimmer of this level of self-nullification the Jewish people merited and were privileged to experience at Maimed Har Sinai, at Mount Sinai. A taste of this experience, of experiencing reality from the above-mentioned perspective, that was experienced by Maimed Har Sinai, which we're talking learning about in this week's Parsha, Parshas Yisrael. Rak shalayachlu lizbal. But they could not contain this experience. They could not endure it. K'maimed Azal, as our sages put it, shal kol dibur parcha nishmasan chuli. The Gemara says in Shabbos, daf peiches amid beis in the sugya of Matan Torah, that have every divine utterance from the 10 utterances that were communicated at Matan Torah at Har Sinai, their souls took flight. And Hashem had to resurrect them, as the Gemara continues, that Hashem had to resurrect them each time with the dew with which he is destined to resurrect the dead after Mashiach comes. The Marshal explains there on the place that 10 times, the Wasanus Adibris, after each Dibur, in other words, 10 times their souls took flight. Zagdal Terebbe, what's pshat? He explains the Gemara. Sho inyin bitul b'metzias hanal.